What does it mean to be a Christian? If I pose this question to myself, usually it means I have seen some counterexample. And if the question stays with me long enough, say hypothetically 11 days or so, probably it means that false witness wasn't some politician or coworker or family member. It means it was me. Okay. Ash Wednesday. There I was rounding the three-quarter pull. Nothing left but one more mass to celebrate. And that's what I saw because that's what I heard. That's not very Christian of you. Jesus wouldn't do that. Verbatim post-liturgy of the word quotes directed my way. Let me try to explain. Ash Wednesday is the great holy day of the people, not defined as obligatory by the church, but certainly shown to be by the swelling of the pews. As the saying goes, on the day after Mardi Gras, even Jews received their ashes. Now, I'm not quite sure about that, but I am sure about how every service ends, with me processing out of the church doors to a recessional refrain being sung on the outside, "Can I still get my ashes?" Without fail, often from someone who made it in time for communion, which again is the real body and blood of the risen Christ, but not in time for ashes, which again is the precious smearing of blessed dirt. Just because it doesn't completely make sense to me, I think I do understand it some. There's a visceral reaction to the receiving of ashes in this ritual way. Something important, something of the sensus fidelii, not just the sense of the faith, but the sense of the faithful. We need this. Perhaps it's because I'm a bit worn down. I like to think it's because I realize few other alternatives, but I tend to be more lenient with late ash requests by the end of the day. Earlier, I suggest finding another liturgy to go to, you know, one that maybe you could actually hear the readings at, you know, hypothetically again. That's where I was, with a bit of a skeptical fast day look to me, to be sure, when two women asked for their noon liturgy ashes at 12:35. Let's just say it was a chain reaction that didn't begin with the burning of blessed palms and end with nicely traced crosses on foreheads. My skeptical look led them, naturally enough, to be pushier, leading me to be very naturally myself a bit flippant, crescendoing with their, "That's not very Christian of you. Jesus wouldn't do that." And my eye roll of, "Jesus didn't distribute any ashes." A point of fact, but a pretty childish retort. I think I could do better than that. Jesus, after all, did deal with a number of people more focused on things ritual than things of the heart. I'll never know who these two ladies were. They haven't called the chancery just yet, or if they made it to a West Bank church closer to their home that night, which is ultimately what I suggested. But the whole thing got me thinking about what it means to be a Christian, something that cuts on both sides of this story, I think. First, wearing church vestments and delivering a consistent no must be done artfully if there's any hope to avoid smugness or even scandal. I could have easily asked why it was they arrived after the conclusion of the liturgy. There could have been a valid reason, right? And there could be a real inability to go to a later service. Secondly, and I think this is the thing that has stuck with me more, I could have asked for an explanation on that whole not very Christian bit. What does it mean to be a Christian? I don't want to belittle our Lenten opening, but is the smearing of ashes essential to our Christianity? If there's nothing more than schedule inconvenience at play, is being a Christian walking up and getting what I want whenever, on demand? There's a reason we don't do drive-through ashes. There's a reason why quiet and perseverance and commitment are timeless Christian virtues. Maybe this is the question on both sides. Can being a Christian possibly include the avoidance of being pulled, of being bothered, of being moved? That encounter touches that point. A counterexample, I think, on both sides, but one that has certainly stayed more with the side I'm responsible for, on me. It's essential, meaning the definition cannot stand without it, for a Christian to be pulled, to be bothered, to be moved. Just look at our readings today. 75-year-old Abram is invited to a second act, which Astrid proclaimed for us in our first reading. Peter, James, John are escorted down the mountain, which we heard in our gospel. Everything within them had to scream skepticism. Why be pulled? Why be bothered? Why be moved? If you wish, I will make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. If you wish, I suppose I could bring myself to do that, to staying where I am, to not straining anything, to letting the messy stuff out there fade from sight on this mountaintop perch. You know, just if you wish. They're so stuck, the apostles, in this place, it takes a literal voice from heaven to get them moving at all. And that movement is just a movement to the ground in fear. Matthew's account of the transfiguration here, I think, is best compared to Luke and Mark, uniquely offering this detail on how those three really got moving. Quote, Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and do not be afraid. So imagine that just for a moment. The three apostles are face down on the ground, and Jesus bends down, certainly after an unwritten trip to the sink to wash his hands to our fathers in length and thoroughly purifying his hands. He touches them. Jesus touches them. He lifts them. He gets them moving. To follow me means to be pulled, to be bothered, to be moved, to head out on a late in life journey like Abram, to move back down the mountain and into the mess like Peter, James, and John. To be Christian means to be touched by Jesus and set out again on this course, on perhaps a return to a course, on perhaps a new course charted out altogether. In this Eucharist, we receive God's touch again. May it lead us to following after our Jesus better this season, to allowing ourselves to be touched by God, lifted by God, sent by God, to be pulled and bothered and moved, to once again be better, dare we pray, true Christians.